Fantastic. Good morning, church. Good morning. It is so good to be here. I was just calculating that the last time I had the privilege of standing before you and speaking, and it would have been last August when I was invited to come to be part of what you're doing here in the city, and it excites me every time I come here. And I love what God is doing in you, through you, and amongst you. I'm excited by that. And oftentimes when you are part of a local church, you may not necessarily see that because it's kind of incremental change. But you don't necessarily see it because you're in it. But when you have been away for a number of months, even a year, then stepping back into it, you think, wow, God is doing something really special in this house and doing something special amongst you and for you. Matthias, I've already told you that when you take a photograph of me, make sure you've got some blurry edges on it and you make me look better than I actually, if you can do that for me, that would be brilliant. A young lad went to church with his grandparents. His mum and dad were working that weekend. And the little grandson tapped the shoulder of his grandpa and said, "Grandpa, what are they doing on the stage?" His grandpa looked down and he said, "They're playing some worship. They're playing some praise and worship. And we sing." The little boy looked up and he says, "Thank you, Grandpa." A few moments later, somebody stood and prayed. He tapped the shoulder of his grandma and said, "Grandma, what are they doing?" And she said, they're praying. They're just thanking God for the opportunity of being together in this place. He said, "Thank you, Grandma." A few moments later, they take communion together. He taps the shoulder of his grandpa again and he says, "Grandpa, what does that mean? What are they doing?" And he said, "They're taking communion. It's to remember what Jesus has done for us. The bread represents his body, the wine represents his blood. We're so grateful for what Jesus has done for us. That's what it means." A few moments later, after communion, after praise and worship, the preacher gets up and takes his watch off. If I can keep my watch off. Takes his watch off and simply puts it down on the pulpit, on the table, and says, "I'm not going to be long this morning." The little boy tapped his grandpa and his grandmother and said, "What does it mean?" They said, "Absolutely nothing." "This morning, I will not be long. But when the date changes from whatever the date is today to the date of tomorrow, that's when I'll stop, if that's okay with you." In keeping with your subject and your theme of atmospheres, I'm going to just build on that wonderful subject. And if you brought your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. If not, it will come on the screen behind me. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we've all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body of the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow, that the whole body is healthy and growing and in the fullness of love. This morning I come to ask this congregation, the congregation in the building, in this upstairs room, and those that are watching online this morning, I come to ask the question, and it's simply this: how can we build? How can we create? How can we establish a prophetic atmosphere? It's a great question to tease us with this morning. But I really want to encourage leadership and those in any form of ministry in this house, and for those of us who are attending as partners of the house and members of the house, that we do build a room and make room for the prophetic to flow. This city is desperately in need of a prophetic people, a people who have a heart open to hear what God is saying and then having the confidence and the courage and the boldness to stand up and deliver what God is saying to the people. Being a prophetic people is not just a label or a badge, but it's an experience and it's a lifestyle. It's not a ritual and it's not a religion. It's not just because we have loud music and energetic preaching. Being a prophetic people is who we are. And we need to have the confidence and the ability to stand up and say, this is us. This is who God has made us. This is the shape, the sound of who we are. To help me portray what I'm trying to say this morning, I'd like you just to allow me to spill it into the Old Testament for a few moments. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 10 is the story recorded of Elisha and a woman who was barren and his servant Gehazi. And it reads like this, and we're going to help us. I want to put some tools into your hands this morning to help us to bring some application to what's being taught. The success of a great preacher is not how it's presented on the platform, but it's how it's applied off the platform. And this morning, I want to put some tools into your hands. One day, Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, I'm sure this man is a man of God, a holy man. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then when he passes by, he has somewhere to stay. This morning, I want to take some brief lessons from this lady's perspective and her action. The Bible tells us she was a wealthy lady. She was a well-to-do lady. She was a lady within the community with means and notability. She was possibly a leading lady within her society. Her soirees were something to be invited to. That they were the talk of the town. They were renowned. They were highlighted. And they were a highlight on the social calendar. And if you had an invite to one of her parties, you were someone of influence and someone of notability yourself. As we look at the life of this lady, we see that on the surface, she had everything. She had wealth, she had recognition, she had status, she had kudos. But there was something missing in her life. She was barren. As I've had the privilege and the opportunity to travel to many churches across the Southwest, many churches across the nation, many churches across nations, and had the opportunity to stand and to deliver something of God's word to them, I've walked into many places, and on the surface, they have everything. That they have everything that you and I think we should have, but there's something missing. And many times in the individual's life of a Christian or the collective life of local church, there's been something missing, and that which has been missing is the prophetic edge and the prophetic atmosphere to their environment and to their world. This lady perceived something. And through her perception, she made preparation. She realized that this man who was passing through her community on a regular basis was a holy man, a prophetic man, a man who brought transformation into a community when he stood and preached the message of truth and liberation. she recognized that she needed to create space in her life and create space in her house, her home, and build a room. We're living in testing times, times of uncertainty, times of immense confusion, lots of questions being asked in all types and all walks of life, and many voices are speaking into that confusion. Oftentimes, the voices being spoken into that confusion and chaos don't necessarily unwrap the chaos and confusion, but actually add to the chaos and confusion, because their voices are representing their persuasions, they're representing their experiences. There's the marginalized voice, there's the advocacy voice, there's the expert voice, there's the voice of media, there's the voice of youth, there's the voice which is a corporate voice, there's a political voice, there's a community voice, there's a cultural voice, and there's even an online voice. Boy, doesn't the city of Exeter need a faith voice, a prophetic voice, speaking belief and values and principles, presenting a moral compass with purpose, with hope, a prophetic voice. And that's why it's important for us as local church to build, to create, to establish an atmosphere of the prophetic. Because it's not about building an atmosphere just to be contained in the circular roof of this room and this building, but to be flowing out into community, into society, into troubled hearts, into troubled minds, bringing a sense of hope and transformation. I'm not an educated individual. I went to high school. The only reason I went to high school was it's on the top of a hill. That didn't really work, did it? That was one of those kind of moments when the tumbleweed flew and rolled by. I'm not really an educated individual, but I have a passion to see community transformed and changed. I have a desire to see our nation turned around and the purpose and the plan of God being revealed and outworked. They tell me, Aaron, that there are spheres of influence when it comes to our community and our society. In fact, what they tell me is this, that there are seven spheres of influence. One of those spheres of influence is religion, the other being family, the third one being education, the fourth one being government and politics, the fifth being media, the sixth being art and entertainment, and the seventh being business and economy. Can I encourage us as a local church that we begin to pray into these spheres of influence? Dare I ask you and challenge you this morning that you begin to look for opportunity to stand within those spheres of influence and speak prophetically to that group. You see, in our day and age, we need a prophetic voice to be heard in the wilderness of uncertainty and anxiety. We need a prophetic voice to be heard in the times of diminishing hope and expectation. We need a prophetic voice that needs to speak up against injustice and unfairness. And the church can be that voice. The church, we, the church, can be the individual, the group who stand up and present a voice of hope and freedom fueled by revelation. Not fueled by self-centered thinking. Not fueled by, I want to be popular and liked by everyone. But fueled by revelation. This lady, she recognized that in her circuit of influence, her sphere of influence, she needed to build a room and she needed to furnish that room. And this morning, maybe as we focus on a few things that she furnished the room with, it would help us understand what we're here for. build a room with the ingredients and the essentials that this lady placed in. Firstly, a room. We need to create a place for God. If we don't create a space and a place for God, all we're doing is gathering as a crowd. And I'm not into crowds just for crowd's sake, but we need to create a place for God to recognize that the purpose we're here is not because of the great preaching of our pastor, but we're here because God is here. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst. You see, sometimes to make room, we have to create and clear some space. We have to put some things to the side. We have to relegate them. We have to move them. We need to create space and time for God. And if we're going to create an atmosphere of the prophetic, we need to clear some space. We need to clear some space and say, this space is not about us, but this space is all about you. God, will you come and fill this space? Oftentimes what I've had to do is create some emptiness because my diary's been so full with good stuff, but not the God stuff. The stuff that I thought would be good, but recognizing that actually it wasn't of God. So I had to create some emptiness. But I'm so grateful that my God is attracted to emptiness. His Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1 says that the earth was empty and without shape and form, but the Spirit of God hovered over that emptiness. And sometimes we just need to create space. And by creating space, we can see God come and inhabit that space. Maybe in this room this morning, there are some of us who need to prioritize creating space. It might mean relegating certain things or initiating other things and maybe even eliminating some stuff. But if we want to create an atmosphere of the prophetic, we need to be intentional. Does that make sense? The second thing I see in this wonderful story, what was this? She said to her husband, we're going to create a room, we're going to furnish it, and we're going to put a bed in it. A bed. What does a bed symbolize to you? I was talking to a young man on the one, two, three, four, the fifth row back this morning. As I walked past him, he yawned. I said, that was a big yawn. I said, I haven't even started speaking yet, and you're already yawning. But to me, a bed talks about rest. Guys, if we want to create a prophetic atmosphere, don't strive. Find rest. But what I've discovered is this, that God talks to me in those moments of rest. That word rest simply means this. It means that we are encouraged to rest in the Lord. It refers to spiritual rest from confusion, from worry, from weariness, from stress, and from useless human efforts. It means to understand and appreciate peace and to be still in the hecticness and the chaos of our society and time. It talks about silence and surrender. We have a pandemic of busyness. Fill the diary from 8 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night, go home and then fill the evening activity as well. We have time-saving gadgets that, if I'm honest with you, don't help me, but just cause a sense of confusion and anxiety to be birthed inside of me. And because of those so-called time-saving gadgets, I found myself burnt out. I found myself suffering from fatigue. I've had a franticness and a distraction. My mental health can be affected and exhaustion. But the lady says, I'm going to create a room. And in the room, I'm going to put a bed. Because I realize that to create this prophetic atmosphere, I need to do it from a position of rest and not busy, busyness. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. And I will show you how to take real rest. Walk with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That's what I was asked to speak on this time last year. Wow. So she creates a room, she creates a space, she puts a bed in it, recognizing rest is important. The second thing she puts into that room is a table. I love sitting around the table. The table symbolizes fellowship. It symbolizes hospitality. In fact, the word fellowship, which is a biblical word, is koinonia. It talks about fellowship with God. It talks about having that intimate relationship over a meal. There's a table. And if we're going to create an atmosphere of the prophetic, we need to have fellowship. The prophetic flows when we do it together in a term of fellowship. I love the way that it starts the stories of Jesus on many occasions where it would say this: he was reclining at a table. And out of that flowed ministry and the prophetic. I'm very grateful everybody in this room is not included in this subject, but he even prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. A table. I love the fact as we begin to look at that, it talks about being a welcome guest at the table, having our head anointed with oil and our cup overflowing. If we truly want to create a prophetic atmosphere in this house, we need to know the koinonia, the intimate relationship of reclining at the table with each other, but also with God. It talks about community. It talks about communion, sharing, relationship. And boy, when we sit around the table, revelation flows. Making sense? The other thing she puts it into the room is a chair. So we have the bed, we have the table, and now we have the chair. Our English language doesn't really paint the picture of what this chair symbolized. Because if you were to do a little bit of research, if you do some deep study, it's called Google. And Google the answer. And you do this deep dive into theology. When they talk about chair, really what she put in that room was a throne. A throne. And the throne symbolizes the authority of God. The throne in our natural standing and stance talks about secular rule, authority and power. But when the Bible talks about throne, it talks about a divine rule and authority. And we need to create a prophetic atmosphere by putting a throne in the center of our room. And the throne is not for a denomination to sit upon. The throne is not for an individual called a church leader to sit upon. There's enough narcissistic leaders across our world who sit on the throne. But we have to have this throne which says, as we worship, we will build you a throne. And will you, God, come and occupy this throne? If like me, over the course of time, oftentimes, sometimes, one or two occasions, I've had the wrong thing or the wrong person in the throne. And I've worshipped position or I've worshipped an individual. And I've had to create some change in all of that. Just bear with me, my iPad's gone flat. In 1660, there was a restoration of the Stuart monarchy. King Charles II returned from exile after being banished from this country, and he returned to this nation and he regained the throne of England. It's written in the history books. How do I know that? Because Google told me. We see the restoration of the throne.
restoration. If we want to become this prophetic people with a prophetic voice, we need to restore the throne back to the King. Not just the King, but the King of all kings. His rightful place. And this lady, she built a room to create an atmosphere for the prophet and the prophetic to dwell. The last thing, which means that my time's coming to an end, means I've got 15 points, 3 illustrations and 2 jokes to get through in the next 2 minutes. She places a lamp. A lamp. Whenever the Bible talks about a lamp, it talks about revelation. You and I can't get the revelation until we've prepared the room. The lamp was the last thing to be put into the room. And there's no fast track here, guys. We have to build with intentionality. We need to be serious about the things that God's asking us to do. And when we create the space, when we create the moment, revelation flows. You see, where there is no revelation, the people perish. The word revelation, according to the dictionary, revelation is the act of revealing or communicating divine truth. God bring revelation to this house. Revelation is something that is revealed by God to mankind. God bring revelation to this house. Revelation is the act of revealing or to view or to make known, to be enlightened and to disclose. God, bring revelation to this house. Revelation is the unfolding of God's sovereign plan for one's life. God, bring revelation to this house. Revelation will flow in us and through us when we have built room and created room and established room for the prophetic to reside in and call home. I believe from this house, as you create atmosphere, you will become a voice of hope and freedom, fueled by revelation. A prophetic voice, not just for this city, not just for the churches within the city, but the spheres of influence across this city, speaking hope, justice, faith, kingdom reality into every bit. You see, as a church, you have a choice. And the choice is simply this. You can either be a thermostat or you can be a thermometer. A thermostat takes the temperature. A thermometer sets the temperature. Have I got that right one? Other way around, sorry. Just checking to make sure you're still awake. My friend on the fifth row is now yawning for the third time this morning. Let me rephrase that. Thermostats set the temperature. Thermometers read the temperature. And churches of a prophetic atmosphere set the temperature and make a difference. Be blessed this morning.